Hey, it's Chris, and welcome to the Between Dreams podcast, a series of conversations with people who are not only dreaming big dreams, but doing something between dreams. That's what life is all about. Today's guest, Zach Gandura, is via mutual connection and longtime friend of the Between Dreams world, Taylor Hughes. And we get into some cool stories and some background of what inspires him and his journey and his creative journey to create the stuff that he's creating. So we're going to get right into it and jump into it with Zach.
So in short, let me start back. Born in Bible Belt, Oklahoma. Moved to Seattle when I was 6 years old. Grew up in the evangelical church. My parents were Catholic and then moved to that, which got me into it. When I was in high school, I had the big born again experience. Ended up getting my degree in theology, dropped baseball and everything, ended up being a pastor in a megachurch for 17 years until I had kidney failure when I was 29, which changed my entire life. It essentially stopped everything and was a reset and realized, like, this isn't what I do want to do with my life. And I had kind of an awakening in getting my master's degree in theology and was like, this isn't where I want to go. This isn't what I want to do. It's a lot more volatile than that, which then led to out of that world, which led to the podcast Losing Our Religion. That I did for 5 or 6 years. Well, after the church world, when I was 29, I had kidney failure just out of the blue, something I was born with. That kind of led to my transition out of the church world, had my transplant at 32 and started my life over. Felt like I almost had a second chance of life. Hmm. That led to the podcast, Losing Our Religion, where I dropped everything, like our mutual friend Taylor. Like, I went from more than six-figure income traveling the world to zero income doing nothing.
Yeah.
And blackballed and blacklisted from every, you know, speaking at churches all over the world.
Yeah. Right before we pushed the button, I was like, let's just chat a little bit before, but we'll just go right into it and dig into some of these things, because I wanted kind of, yeah, let's just jump right into that of, from one perspective, that could be like, oh, this is, my life's over, you know, income just as one part of that, but that's a big part of it of, now what the heck am I going to do?
Yeah.
What do you think it is about those big moments that really come down to a perspective? You know, from one perspective, it's, now what am I going to do? I'm screwed. From another perspective is, as you said, you got a second chance at recreating a whole new life. So what is it in those moments that allows those two, or guides those, somebody to choose one over the other?
Yeah, I kind of look at it, I'm in the tech world partially for work these days, but I'm not a techie, but I look at it as almost like my computer crashed. And then you're like, oh shit, like, now what do I do? My computer broke.
Yeah.
And I didn't back it up.
Yeah.
What do I do now? And so you start afresh, you start a new computer, but instead of that, you know, the not backing it up, you realize, you know, specifically for me at that moment, when you're about to die and you have a life-changing surgery to give you a resurge of life, it's like rebooting, and you're like, was the life I created the one I want? And for me, it was like, no, like, I just got into the minutia of those things and everything. And that started making me realize, like, I'm living the life that my family wanted, my parents wanted, my culture wanted, where I came from wanted. But now that I'm here and I've seen the top of it, and this is what I do with the rest of my life, I can't do this anymore. Like, I got to start over.
Yeah.
And so you either do or you don't. That's where I think it's like a pressure cooker for people. It's like, people either, I think we all have those moments. I assume we do anyways. And it's like a pressure cooker. And as the lid's coming down and the pressure's coming up, you either get massively rocketed outside of that bucket that you've been in your entire life, or you stay in it and you're like, yeah, this is what I want. And yeah. I was the bucket.
Yeah. Like, so in that moment, I think it's easy for people to say, oh yeah, I understand. Like, theoretically, it all makes sense. Okay. Yeah. I restart, recalibrate everything. But in that moment, as a person emotionally, that's not a real nice, no matter how optimistic your outlook is, there's moments when you're like, oh, I still feel like I am kind of lost at sea with this. So how was that for you? And it can be, yeah, like on a personal level, like, where does that, so like, where, what do you do? Because again, I think it's easy to say, like, oh, you know, I've talked about it all the time, like, oh, just go follow your dreams.
Yeah.
But I fully understand that when you're in the middle of, you know, laying in bed and just being like, I don't know what, but I don't know how to do that or what to do. So what is that? What did that look like? What do you do when you're like, for okay, me, I can go anywhere, but how do I take the first step?
For me, it, and I think it's like this for a lot of people. It got to a point where like, if I stay, I'm suffering. And then if I leave, I'm suffering. Like, which suffering do I prefer?
Yeah.
You know, it's like I can stay and I can have a paycheck, but my insides, for me, I don't believe in this trajectory anymore. And I would be then faking it for my whole life for the paycheck. And so it was to the better of two pains. It was like the pain of starting over, what seemed more adventurous and less painful than the pain of staying. And then it was, and this is the hardest thing for everybody to answer. It's the ultimate question of what do I want? And that sounds like an easy question to answer, but it's really not.
Yeah.
Because most of us, I think, don't ever ask it. Or when we do get answers internally, well, it's like, oh, that was what I was told that I should want. I was told that I should want like a six-figure income, a home, a wife, a husband, children, you know, 2.3 dogs and a cat and a Ford, you know? But is that what I want? No, I kind of want to like leave America and live on a beach in the middle of nowhere and like join a tribe of drummers somewhere, you know? Yeah. It's like, that's what I really want. So I think that's the question that's really hard for people to answer. And it takes some soul searching and sometimes some help.
Yeah. So then what was that for you? You know, now it's like going into kind of like grazed over it of doing a podcast and helping creative people. And I guess not so much like, you know, I was looking at some of your, you know, you're available to, you know, help people in those moments. And then also we'll dig into it a little bit of what your work stuff is in right now in like kind of innovative, really pushing the envelope on some, you know, at the end of the day, what this show and what so much of what I do is about creating experiences with focus on audiences. And that can take so many, you know, the show started off me talking to my juggling and magic friends. And what's so fascinating to me is these conversations where it's like, okay, there's a world of like these new stories, but it all comes back to people creating experiences for audiences. And sometimes that audience is ourself that we have to create something for ourselves to do. So where'd that go for you?
Yeah. For me, the question of what I want came down to the question of who am I? And all of my life, I've been some kind of a coach or mentor or inspirer to other people. Mm-hmm. And I've always been really pissed at artists, to be honest, because I'm intrinsically an artist. But most artists I know are like, I picked up a guitar when I was 5 and I learned how to, and I just played with it. And now I'm a professional musician. Or, my parents got me a magic kit and when I was a child and I just loved it. And now I'm a professional magician. I didn't have that. Like what I had picked up as a child was my Transformers, my stuffed animals. I used to like set up my toys and like grab a table and talk to people. And I didn't think it was comedy. I thought it was like preaching in churches. And so when I left that life, I left that. And so the only thing that's held on of who I am is inspiring and helping people, which then led me to how do I want to verbalize that now? Now that I'm not living this one way of doing it. And that's what led me to doing a podcast. And that podcast was called Losing Our Religion. And it was essentially my story and the story of others. Like it was a talk show, you know, it was a talk show of like, it was a talk show that was led by my curiosity. It was for 30 years, I lived in one world. And now I realize there's this whole other world out there that I've never experienced. Let me talk to every other person that I never would have been in contact with in my old world. And let me record that and create something that can be inspiring for people. And they'll just hear one story after another of people that have had these major life transitions. So in like personal inspiration and inspiring others to do more or be more is always, or be happier is always the thing that drives me for sure, which led to the first podcast. And the second one, I'm sure we'll talk, it'll come out sometime this year. I don't even have a launch date yet because I'm still formulating, but I'm excited to talk about it. Something about that in me will create a different kind of art that I've never done before. I've done, but I haven't done publicly. It's like the closet art. Like maybe you played, you know, an instrument and nobody knew you played it forever. And yeah. someone was like, you need to perform. You play what? And I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm glad they're just singing in the shower.
Yeah. So in that idea of coming from a place of inspiring others, what do you think? And you know, that's one of my favorite things about doing a podcast is like it's to share ideas and new perspectives with the audience. And there's a funny little side effect of that is that I get to talk to people, you know, 115 episodes or something. And there's like a bunch that weren't for whatever reason, never even got aired. So, you know,
yeah,
a lot of conversations that I probably wouldn't have had. How was that for you? You know, you start with this idea of, oh, I want to inspire others. And I would imagine there's a lot of, oh, wow, that was really kind of helpful for myself. Was there any of that moment of I don't want to call it self-therapy, but
it
like
self-therapy.
Yeah.
Like that's exactly what it was. In fact, I think you're more truthfully telling the story than I am, even, because that's what birthed it. Like, that's what birthed of what do I want to do with this story that I live to help and inspire others. It really came down to what do I need to do to heal, to change, to grow, to it was 100% self-therapy.
Was there one particular moment or conversation, without just giving anyone's name if you don't want to, was there one moment that really came to where you realized that you were like, whoa, I thought I was helping others, but I was really helping myself, and some big moment that came from that?
There were multiple, and I can think of two in particular that, you know, growing up in a very American Christian religious kind of background, I wanted to open myself to being curious and inclusive. You know, I don't share a lot of what I believe now, and I don't really know. I mean, but there were two individuals. One was a man who lives, you know, 2.5 miles south of me on a self-sustaining farm that he created, but he lived a Norse lifestyle, like a Viking. And the how he got into that was he was on a reality show in Norway called All for Norge, which means All for Norway. And they would bring Americans of Norwegian heritage to Norway to show them, and they would have them do DNA tests and then show them what the roots of their family were in Norway. And he was so freed by that experience that he started living it. And he invited me to their farm for a Yule bloat, like around Christmas. And it's a whole ceremony and sacrifice of a ritual slaying of a lamb, mixing of the blood, thanking the gods. You know, I think it was Freya and Odin at the time. I don't remember. But coming up from my background, I'm like, this is, you know, I was told that was demonic and evil and like the most horrible thing we could do. But you watch this man who raised this lamb on a farm weeping. And he's a huge dude. He's literally a Viking. He's just a big, giant ass Viking. And he's weeping as he's about to slit the throat of this lamb for this religious and communal sacrifice. And then after they do this and they kind of go through the process, they go into the kind of like a longhouse. And as a community, they just share stories over the last year of like, you know, good times and bad times that happened in the last year, how they are letting go of those and what they are hoping for the future. And it was just the most beautiful expression of love and family and community that I'd ever experienced. And that was life changing. I was like, how did I never, you know, growing up in what I thought was a religion of love, I never had this experience ever. Mm-hmm. And what a wonderful freeing experience and ritual it was. I mean, I'm not big on blood and all that stuff. So
yeah,
it's difficult for me. Like I'm crying. I'm like, oh my God. But I'm like, I eat meat. So this is what happens, you know, yeah. And they don't just waste the animal, you mm-hmm. know, it's like they clean it. They feast on it. It drains. Then they feast on it the next day or the day after, again, as a community where they do more rituals around the table of community and conversation. And that's just one example of many that I came to find out like, oh, wow, there are so many other people on the planet that are living different lives that I want to live like this, just that are having so much sense of freedom and love and community that I'd never even experienced before. And there's multiple of those. We could go on. Like I even met with somebody who was head of the Satanic Temple in Seattle. And like, again, my inner child was freaking out because growing up how I grew up, but sitting down with her and hearing their beliefs and their, you know, hope for peace and inclusivity with humanity was just like, what?
Yeah.
Crazy. Like, essentially, you know, it was just different things that I was told were wrong, that once you get into the minutia and you actually ask people what they believe or what they think, or is just inspiring.
Yeah.
And it was just, it really, and funny enough, like, as I started that podcast and it went 5 or 6 years, I think 300 episodes or something like that, was right when everything in America started ramping up, you know, with conservative and everybody, and things just started getting fiery. Funny enough, part of that podcast ended because my recording studio was on the block, is on the block still today, of where the Chaz Chop rallies were in Seattle. And I, because of my, you know, kidney transplant that I think I mentioned, I live with a suppressed immune system. COVID had just started. There's 30,000 people in one area. I can't even get there. And when I did go, I'd have to get, you know, first police permission. And then when the police were pushed out, then I had to get the Chop Chaz people permission just to drive into the garage of the studio where I record from. And I'm, you know, I'm like susceptible to a pandemic that doesn't have any, you know, vaccines yet. So yeah. I was like, I can't do this. Like, the energy in the place was so charged. Plus, I could die just by coming into my studio.
Yeah. Wow. So, oh man. Yeah. Like, we kind of framed this up at the beginning. I was like, I know we can go down so many directions. So yeah. we're going to pick one. So I think we'll go into that idea of switching, kind of like having another moment. Now you're kind of like going down this new, as you kind of hinted at, going down into this new version of what you're doing. There's this theme that you keep kind of expressing of going down one road kind of leads you to another fork in the road, which leads you to another fork in the road. And it turns out you can keep going forever. Yeah. And I think there's a balance, certainly for me, and maybe less like bigger life things, but more just on the creativity side of things, is there's like this interesting balance of, I almost feel like sometimes I'm like, I don't want to learn or know more, because then that just opens up this world where I am like, well, I need to know even more, which sounds like a good thing, but sometimes that can be overwhelming. It sounds like in all of your thing of like learning about new cultures and things that seem like they were like, oh, definitely the wrong door to open. Once you do, you're like, oh, I now have this new perspective.
Yeah.
Have you ever felt that where you're like, in my mind, it's like a very interesting thought that I think a lot of people are like, well, I just don't, that's not who I am or what I think about, so I'm not even going to explore it. You're willing to open those doors, and you probably are going to see some things you're like, oh, I was right. That was, this world is not so good, and I don't want to dig into that anymore. So I guess there's something in that, like, you know, the fear of, it's ultimately a fear of being let down, maybe. Where's that balance for you of like wanting to know everything, but then also you still have to have some level of, okay, well, this is what I believe, or currently, obviously, where I stand on this thing. Is there a balance in that of?
I think so. I think there is. Yeah.
My mind is maybe like, can you go too far over the waterfall and be like, oh, I went into too many worlds and now I don't know anything. I was on this seeking to knowledge and now I don't know anything.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%.
I rambled my question there, but I think
it makes sense and I resonate with it a lot. Like, there's a quote, I don't even know who it was from, but it was like, the more I know, the more I realize I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's 100% true. But, and I think, yes, I think in, and I think that the pendulum swinging that you're referring to, I think that's just part of life and growing and just using my upbringing and then how this translates into creativity and art and creation as well is once you feel like you know, and then and this is just me. Like, once I feel like I know and like things are working and it becomes easy for me, then I get bored.
Hmm.
So that then drives me to go, what's next? And okay, I feel like I've mastered this to a level. Funny enough, this is one of the things that got me hired at Amazon for the current position I'm doing, which is coaching content creators building virtual experiences. is because I've, you know, on my resume, I put, you know, a jack of all trades is a master of none, but oftentimes better than one is the entire quote. And most of us only think of the first quote, but I've done so many things and got them to a level of, okay, yeah, I can do this. And then I get bored and then I transition out. That transitioning out is always hard, is always scary, is always nerve-wracking. But once you get to a point of like, this is part of the process of growth. I heard this one day, and it was actually for when I, after I kind of left that religious world, I was a creative director for a consultancy company for 4 years. And they used this, and they, and this was right before the podcast. It was like, I did this corporate job for 4 years that I was like, I'm never doing another corporate job again. And then now I'm working at Amazon 6 years later, or actually 10 years later, whatever it is. But they used to, they worked with, you know, Fortune 500 companies all over the world and with corporate culture, and it was good stuff. But one of the things I remember always is they used this phrase of like storming, norming, performing. And what that was every time you start something new, there's a storm. Every time you join a new team, you're figuring things out. You're figuring things out new. It's frantic. It's scary. And then you get to a point of norming, which means it's become normal and things kind of settle down. It's not as, there's not as much anxiety anymore. It's okay. I know these people. I know this team. I know what I'm supposed to do. I know what my role is. I know what my part's to play. And then as everybody settles in that, then you really start to perform together. And bands go through the same thing. And so do, you know, theater and movies. And that's the process of growth, I feel like. So it's like once you have in your mind that there is this process of growth, that, and you know that the pendulum swing is part of it, that once you get to the pendulum swing over here, my podcast is a perfect example. My first podcast is a perfect example of the pendulum swinging from super hyper evangelical religious young man. Now I'm doing a podcast called Losing Our Religion, and I'm talking to Satanists and the LGBT community and everything that was as anti-Christian as possible, just to find some sense of inclusivity of humanity that I was looking for. And now this next podcast I'm creating will be much more creative and theatrical for me than just interviews, but it's bringing me back to who I am. Because who I am has never really changed. My environment changed, my belief systems changed, the people I was around changed. But this core person of who I am, as I take these leaps and these, you know, do these new things, I find a little pieces of me again, like, oh, this is where I settle in here. It's almost like you look at kids that grew up in the military and they traveled and changed schools every 2 years. Now, that sounds horrible to me, because as a kid, that sounds really rough, because you're going through storming, norming, performing every couple of years. And it's very, but they learn, you learn something from that. You learn that this is just normal and it will calm down after a minute.
Yeah.
And the creative process is so much like that too. And it's almost like the more pressure we put on it, the harder it is to create. And we need deadlines. But it's like almost sometimes deadlines, like, oh, I got to finish writing the script by tomorrow. And that's why, you know, for us, and that's why I've learned now and understand the part of me, the core of me that's been always there is this upset creative that nothing will ever be good enough, but I need to release it anyway.
Yeah.
Now I'm learning that process.
Yeah. I love that.
Good question. I don't know.
But it's good. I like it. So you kind of touched on the working with Amazon now, helping creators bring their, you know, speaking of a world of opening doors of unknown, you know, there is a theme here, despite how it looks like we're bouncing all over the place, but it's kind of the same thing of, you know, exploring the unknown. In the past couple of years, we obviously had to do so. And so talk a little bit about what that is and what it looks like, and probably more importantly, what are you learning? I think the third part of that is going to be like, what are you learning then that relates to what we talked about for the first 20 so minutes of this?
That's huge.
From working with different creators from around the world and from every culture possible. Yeah. That's probably like a lot of questions in one, but I'll let you grab where you want to pick up on that.
Yeah. Funny enough, the part of Amazon I got hired to work with is called Amazon Explore. And they're really, you know, going into the virtual travel market. So they work with a lot of travel agencies and stuff like that, and tourism and different things like that. So I'm literally working with, you know, this week, where was I? I was in virtually. I was in Prague. I was in Italy. I was in Argentina 3 times. I was essentially with tour guides and creatives in the middle of these cities, virtually connected to them through a phone and a camera gimbal, you know, and teaching them. They don't know. They know tourism. Half of them know tourism. Half of them know, have worked in the creative. The coaching the creative ones is easy because they feel it, right? Yeah. Creatives, they feel what they should do before they know what they should do. Mm-hmm. And so getting them to the point of knowing what they should do, you know, and what I mean by knowing you should do is, you know, cinematography, the rule of thirds, like things that make camera, you know, that tell stories through, you know, a rectangle. And so that's kind of where I have fit in there, as well as kind of the podcasting and mentoring comes into that as well. Cause I'm literally working, mentoring, coaching, and training other people. Funny enough, I'm also to some extent preaching, you know, training webinars and doing a number of different things for these creatives. And it's, again, it comes back to that loop in my life that I'm always working with people and helping them get better at something, or helping them get free of something. And that just continues to be the narrative. So I've stopped fighting it. You know, it's like, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do here, or this is what I want to do too. Yeah. It's what lights the fire and turns me on is, but the big things I'm learning from that process is I never wanted to work at Amazon. I grew up in Seattle. I moved to Seattle when I was 6 years old. I've been here my whole life. I've watched the city change because of Amazon. And it was literally, if you talk to my therapist, it was like, yeah, 4 years ago, he would have said, I'll never work here. But that's been a great learning experience actually for me, because that's helped me get the more kind of business and logical side of create, as well as, you know, data and how to use it, how to take, you know, information from your customers or your fans or whatever, and translate that into what you can create to give them the experience that they're looking for. I've always had the creative side and kind of the coaching side. I've never had the business side. And so that's been very difficult, like learning to use Excel. This sounds really elementary to a lot of people, but to me, I've never had any need to use Excel.
Yeah.
But like the crazy, like learning how the data that you input to Excel can be turned into a story and a narrative. Mm-hmm. And it will tell you not only where your business is going, but where you can go with it. Mm-hmm. And that's fascinating to me. And I think would be so beneficial. It's, you know, there, every creative out there that wants to make a living off of their creativity, that's the thing they lack. Most of them. I think there's other people that are really smart, logically business-minded, or they partner with somebody that is, and find a way to do it. But in my experience, it's usually the other way around. It's usually like they're hyper creative and you know, if they could get what they're doing out to the world could change, you know?
Yeah.
They don't know how do I get it out there, and how do I promote this, or how do I market this, or how do I, you know, do this on my own? Or so that's a big side that I'm learning right now that I'm interested to move into the new podcast that I'm working on now. Because whatever you do first, you learn a lot. You know, and kind of talking, like hinting back at least a little bit of a callback of what you asked earlier, when the pendulum swings, or how do you make those transition and those jumps to do something new? One of the drivers has to be like, this isn't going to be perfect and I'm going to screw it up. Like I'm going to fail. And falling in love with, I think somebody else says this, it's fame more, you know, that's famous, but falling in love with failing is how you get better. Mm-hmm. And so it's like everything I learned from 6 years of a pretty successful podcast, I also learned in those 6 years some gifts and creative talents that I need to use that will better serve people and make it more fun and more entertaining. You know, voiceover stuff that I've done and characters and stories that I've built in the past that I've never made these things public. They've been left in journals and in recordings of my own. You know, so you build confidence and you fail, which helps the next thing.
Yeah. So what, either in you as a person or the, some of the people that you're helping now, coaching and guiding in this thing of, you know, there's some level of ego within all performers of whatever, you know, entertainers, performers or people. And it's an attachment to, you know, their way. Almost always that is in the form of an attachment of, well, this is the way I do it. And
yep.
I must be right because this is the what I believe. Kind of that's a good kind of tie into opening doors and exploring.
Yeah.
When we say this is the way I do it, so that must mean if I truly believe this is the way to do it, it's against my beliefs to change that.
Yeah.
Which doesn't necessarily isn't necessarily wrong, you know, that's how right. humans behave. So you're coming in and maybe presenting something for yourself and for other creators and people who are making things and saying, well, sometimes your initial intuition might be wrong and we have data to show for it. And yeah. that isn't the nice, that's not what me speaking personally as a creator, I might be like, I don't care yep. what the data says. This exactly. is the way I want to do it because yeah. this is my thing.
Exactly.
And I'm going to sink, I'm going to burn with the ship. I'm going down with the ship because that I'm going to proudly, you know, stand on this. So how do you, and one of the things that with specifically with entertainment, I think about, and now I'm bridging that gap over to kind of thinking it more in like corporate world, you know, business side of really looking at the audience experience from a bird's eye view, because the interaction between whether it's a business or a brand or an entertainer on stage isn't from, there is no perspective. It's not an entertainer performing. It's not an audience watching. It's not a brand making something. And it's not that brand's audience doing something. It's a dance and they're together. The only way to experience that dance and to analyze that dance is to go up as a bird's eye view and watch the two of them interact. There's yep. never anything that is one-sided. So going up in the idea of watching from above, and that's kind of what you're saying. Okay, well, I can see the creative side. I can also see the analytical side and this business side. And now we need to merge those two together because we need yeah. to imagine ourselves watching this interaction of the audience interacting with the performer, whatever those two roles actually take. So what do you think? So the takeaway of that is, how do you think in your experience it's easier? How do you get both of those sides of that to kind of understand the other side by mm-hmm. taking that bird's eye? You know, it's a little bit of what you have dedicated your life to, opening yeah. those doors so that you might see a different perspective. How do we encourage people, whatever side they're on, to go open those doors and say, oh, my way of thinking is true based yeah. on what I know now, but when I learn a little bit more, I need to be open to say, oh, I might have been wrong about something and I don't need to turn my ship around and go the opposite way. Probably. Yeah. Maybe.
But I think most people don't.
Like, I usually yeah. just need a little push and then we'll end up in actually the right place instead of going over the edge that was detrimental.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you said it. For me, what the only way to do that, and I think you said it really well, is getting to the point of being able to lose attachments. Hmm. It's our attachments to the way things should be done or the way they have to be done or the only way I know they could be done that limits the creativity. We can only be creative if we're curious. Hmm. If we're not curious, it's really hard to be creative. You know, the only time our prefrontal lobe turns on is when we're free of attachments. When you're a kid, you know, as long as you're worried of coloring in the lines and that it has to be perfect, you're never able to really break free. It's when we're able to lose the attachment that there needs to be lines that we create new things that people have never seen or never heard of, or they have, but maybe it's completely different. Oh, I've never heard it this way. You know, I've never heard somebody say it like that. I've never heard somebody sing it like that. And that's the weird thing. Like, that's the kind of the weird spiritual fires that turn on to me, is working with people to do that. Hmm. There's a great book called The Artist's Way. I don't remember the author very well right now, but it speaks so well. Really, she's become famous helping creatives and people, mostly a lot of writers, break writer's block. And the practices and ways to do all that, you know, and I have found a lot of practices for me that help me lose attachment to be creative again. And generally it doesn't always happen. Often takes a coach or somebody else. Like I said, I have a therapist that I've been with for 4 or 5 years, weekly seeing them. I've had multiple coaches and my girlfriend's therapist told her, Zach's a seeker, you know, and I think you kind of, I'm just always like that. Like, I want new information. I want to learn something new. I live by the, you know, funny enough, which is one of the Amazon leadership principles, learn and be curious. You know, it's like, if I have an obsession, I like whiskey, I like beer, I think marijuana is great, it can help you sleep. But really my addiction is learning, you know, and putting myself in the middle of something I don't know. And that's where I like to try to help people to do that as well. I have a creative I'm coaching right now. He's a professional musician. And one of the techniques that we've worked on for him is meditation and getting to a place of spaciousness in his own mind and body that he can start hearing his creativity come out and turning on that prefrontal lobe in a way that helps him to break out of writer's block or to break out of places of creativity and to live an adventure. Like even, and this is how I look at meditation and things like that. It's like living a self-adventure without ever leaving home. Hmm. You know, the Amazon Explore service I'm working with right now is like travel the world without ever leaving home, you know, meet people, meet places. And you can do that in meditation too. And that's just one thing, one of those things that can break us out of that process and help break us out of that process. But yeah, it's losing those attachments. You said it. Like, and your other question is like, how do you help people that really are really, really stuck with that? In my experience, you can't. Like someone has to want, they have to want to change or have to want things to be different in order for you to help them get to a point of answering the question of like, what do I really want? What do I want to do with my life? What's the next creative thing I want to, I don't know. There's got to be something in them that wants it. You can't force anything on anybody.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Yeah. I mean, I know that very well from being on Facebook and, you know, yes. Being part of like performer groups or artist groups or videographer groups. And, you know, you see people ask questions of how do I do my pricing? People keep giving me $100 to do my thing. And it's like, okay, well, here's the answer. And they're like, yeah, but, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm not even going to read the rest of this because you've just decided that you don't want to change and that you want to just say that you're, you know, that's often the thing too, of, you know, people want to say they're worth more money. I'm like, that's great. Now you need to express that in a way that the people that you're asking for see that value. And
yeah,
it's interesting to me that how unwilling so many people, particularly obviously in the creative field, are just stuck in their world.
I mean, you, that just bring, I just watched yesterday a small interview with Leonardo DiCaprio and he was talking about how he was struggling for a couple years of like going to auditions and the pressure. And he literally said, he was like going to an audition, you just become the yes man. Can you ski? Yes. Like, can you do this? Yes. Can you jump off a high dive? Yes. Can you skydive? You just say yes so that you get the job. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I realized I can't do any of those things and I don't want to do those things.
Yeah.
And it made me ask myself, like, what is it that I know I can do really well? And then he goes, once I settled on what I knew I could do really well and I could say, no, can you ski? No, I can't. Hmm. You know, but here's what I do really well. I somehow, for him, he said, I then also lost the attachment and the need of the money. Hmm. And once I lost the attachment of the need of the money, meaning they had to pick me, I had to get this role. He goes, that's when I started getting roles.
Yeah.
Again, losing attachment and just owning who you are. And that's so difficult. You know, I think we all can get there in different ways. Pain led me to it, you know?
Yeah. I guess that's the way that we don't change because things are happy and good ever. Exactly.
You're right. We don't at first. I think at first we don't. In my own journey and experience, I'm in a place in life right now. I just started working with a coach again because I'm in the first place in my life where I'm like, I'm in a pretty good place. Like this is the first time I feel happy. I'm in a great relationship. Do I want to keep working in the corporate America forever? No, like as a creative, no, but I'm happy with it. And it's the first time I've had stable income, you know, in a decade that I'm not pushing every day as a self-employed creative. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy with it. I'm happy with that. I love the relationship. I could stay here the rest of my life and just be happy.
Yeah.
But that's not me.
Yeah.
So I've been here for 2 years now and now I'm like getting unhappy, but I'm like, okay, what's different between this time and other times of great change and transformation or growth in my life? And I'm like, oh, this is the first time I'm in a place that I like. my motivation isn't, I got to get the hell out of here because I hate where I'm at and I hate what my job and I hate this relationship and none of this is good. This is not what I want. I'm actually at a place where I'm like, this is what I wanted. What's next?
Yeah.
And that's a different motivation. And that's why I'm getting help.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I don't know how to operate out of that. My whole life has been running from suffering.
Yeah.
You know, so how do you change when you're actually in a pretty good place? How do you get better? How do you grow? How do you become more creative when you're actually doing pretty good?
Yeah.
Like I'm in the process of figuring that now. I know it's possible.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I know it's possible. And I think for me, I go in cycles. I watch in my life cycles, I go to like these growth cycles where it's, and in every growth cycle, like where I'm at right now, I feel like I'm at the beginning of a new growth cycle where I'm like, how do I do that now? How do I, what's next? What do I want next? I notice that my discipline goes, my personal discipline raises in those moments in my life. And I don't have to try to work out during those. I don't have to try to meditate during those times in my life. But then there's the downswings where it's like, okay, I'm here. And then I just like get comfortable and like stop working out, stop meditating, stop journaling, stop creating, stop whatever. That's like, I want to end that cycle. Like I want to where I'm just continually like a slow kind of move. And I don't like levels like as I'm getting higher. I just don't know any way to explain it.
Yeah. Right.
But I notice that it's so funny. It's like you come out of, and maybe that's, I think many maybe guru type coaches have or people that work in that kind of field in psychology, our traumas sometimes flip in circles, right? And so I'm talking about cycles that I've had where I just had a 2-year one and now I'm kind of starting over and regrowing somewhere earlier in my life that was 17 years of being stable at one place. And then I had a growth period of that. And then it was like within a couple of years, I was a completely different life, doing exactly what I wanted. And then I kind of regressed and I was like, and then it took like a year. I was like, oh, wait, I'm in that place again. Let me get back to where I want to go. I don't know if that makes sense. To me, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Maybe too ethereal, but yeah.
Yeah, it's almost a little bit thinking about it of, you know, without going into the bar graph going up, it's kind of like building the foundation and building, you know, building a house is one part. And then you can continually build, you know, you don't always need to keep building the house higher, but you can make the inside of it a lot nicer. Yeah. And you probably won't ever be done, you know, decorating or refurnishing or something
and
like that.
And it's good to rest, right? Like if you, every time you, you know, reorganize your room, you get rid of furniture, you move the furniture around, you know, and you like it and you're like, this is great. Like then fucking chill out, you know?
Yeah.
Enjoy it. And that's hard for me because I'm always this kind of driver mover. Like I start to get depressed if I'm not doing something new.
Yeah.
And that's a problem, you know?
Yeah.
And you don't ever enjoy life. You're just working all the time. So,
yeah. I think myself and probably everyone who's in the world that would listen to this podcast is going to resonate with that. So that'll be a really nice moment. So I've been promising to keep these episodes on the shorter side. So I think we'll tie this up and kind of like leave. There's going to be a lot of conclusions that people can arrive at for themselves of what, you know, because we touched on so many things. But is there anything that you, and I think what we just did was the perfect recap, but is there, it happens on every episode, this last moment is like, I think that was the moment that we are going to leave with, but is there any kind of like tie up thoughts that you would like to leave people and certainly include in this, you know, where if you would like to drive people to check out any of your, feel free to drop that in there as well for a tie up there.
I think in short, the biggest thing I've learned that I would want to pass on, and I'm constantly trying to live this myself, is like, be kind to yourself, be gentle with yourself. And as you seek to move and grow, remember to enjoy the moment and be in the moment. And it's the moment that really has brought me some of the best creativity I've ever had in my life. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's just the being in the now and being like a conversation like today. I'm not looking at my phone. I didn't look at the clock. I mean, you are because you're running the show, but you know, it's like just being in the moment with Chris.
Yeah.
And when, you know, and as a creative, you're in the moment, you have those ideas, write that stuff down.
Yeah.
Chris, you just said something really good. I had to write that down. Just made me think of a song. You know, it's like, write it down so you forget it.
Yeah.
I had like a sales pitch, three words to remember, but then I was like, no, I'm just going to go with what I feel.
That's great.
Podcast has a name. I'm not going to say it yet.
Okay.
But people can go to my old podcast, Losing Our Religion, podcast.com, or zackgandara.com, zackgandara.com. And you can find me and look at the ridiculous things that, you know, I do. I do a million things in my life, and I'm very unhappy with one lane. So I just do lots of different lanes.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. So when the podcast comes out, you'll hear about it, you know, through those channels or my Instagram or whatever. It'll be in 2022. And it will be a combination of, like I said, I've coached a lot of people, and that's the kind of the thread through my entire life is helping other people. And so it's taking those painful stories or questions that people have, and then I'm creating a narrative and a fictional story of that, telling that story. And then through my paywall, we'll then talk about and coach through that process. Mm-hmm. So the podcast will really be me doing theater, you know, expressing, you know, one man show theater, sometimes multiple people and voice actors telling a story of someone's life or a question that they had of how they're trying to grow or change or deal with pain or, you know, or heal trauma or whatever the case may be. And some kind of theatrical, and make it all sad. Like, it'll be fun too. And comedy and hilarity, you know. And my friend, mutual friend Taylor that you and I have, he's like, being with you and watching you perform, you are pure life, light, joy, comedy, laughter. And sometimes all that you put out to the world via the internet is, you know, not conflicting, but challenging, you know, cause I'm always, I don't know why. And I'm trying to make the creative switch of what I've put out in the world is like, let's make things better. Like, the world can be better. We can be nicer to each other. Let's be more inclusive. You know, Jesus and Satan can call a pact, and, you know, they can just be like, look, homie, let's just love each other. Yeah. Like, that's my inner me and my inner hope for humanity. Will it ever happen? I don't know. Maybe someday, but you know, that thing is what I hope this podcast will bring, more positivity, as rather than, you know, my last podcast was Losing Our Religion. That instantly creates conflict with a lot of people.
Yeah.
Religion is very good for a lot of people. And I would never say that I'm against religion. I've always been against dogma and theocracy. Hmm. I'm against other people telling other people how they should live.
Yeah.
I think we should have the freedom to choose our own life, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else. But that's, again, my personal belief. So I want to tell creative stories that bring people light, joy, and hope. And I hope the next podcast does that.
Sweet.
Chris, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing everything. And as listeners, feel free to reach out, obviously, to me if anything in this episode sparked anything that you would be curious to chat about. And Zach, I know you're open to, you know, on social media and stuff, findable. Absolutely. And available, obviously, for people to, you know, drop a comment on something, on a post or whatever it is that you've gotten going on.
Yeah.
And it'll be cool to see that 100%. Conversation start.
And how you and I met is the fun thing I'm going to start doing more and more of. It was just like being live on Instagram and talking to random people.
Yeah.
And that was how the first time you and I had met, like in face to face. So
yeah.
I love talking to people.
Yeah.
It's fun and fantastic to me. So do it. I love it.
Amazing. All right. Well, thanks for joining.
Thanks,
and
Chris.
I think we'll certainly have enough to talk about to do a part 2 at some point.
Sounds good. I'm sure we will.